I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Paul Reiser is returning to TV with the appropriately titled The Paul Reiser Show. Paul, playing a fictionalized version of himself, is a man who's struggling with his fading celebrity while enjoying time with his wife and kids. He hangs out with a group of friends, mostly other fathers or husbands of his wife's friends, all while trying to figure out his next career move. Paul did a Q&A recently where he chatted about making the show a single-camera sitcom and if he got any advice from Larry David on playing himself. The site takes a lot of work, so I really do appreciate it when you support our advertisers. And now, here's Paul.
I'm just curious about this new show. It's obviously a one-camera film show. How is that different for you? A lot of your experience has been in three-camera with a studio audience. How has it been different for you in acclimating yourself to the new format?
Yeah. The irony is I always wanted a single camera. Even when we did Mad About You, I originally pitched it as a single camera, which they didn't do back then, and come into play. As fun as it was to have a live audience, I never really felt that comfortable with it. I love it when I do stand-up, and it's great to have an audience, but I always felt that when doing a show, it kind of distracted me a bit, and this feels just perfect and right, and it has a much more real-life quality, which is what the show is really about. I mean, hopefully the show is people recognize it and go, okay, that really feels real. These are real people when I'm playing myself, and I've obviously accelerated a bit, and it's because it's a comedy, but that part of it feels right. It looks exactly like the show that I wanted to make, so I'm very pleased with it.
I'm wondering, since the show is based on, some real-life moments, how do your wife and kids feel about some storylines maybe making it into the show that come from real life?
That's a good question. On a good day, they're very tickled. On the other days, they're going, why did you tell them that? But you know what? My brilliant partner, Jonathan Shapiro, he's putting his family in there too. And one of the great things about having a partner is you get to hide behind the other guy and go, honey, that was really more his wife. So we feel that enough names have been changed to protect the guilty.
My first question is just why now?
I felt America needed me. I'm joking. It's hard to hear 40 people not laughing on the phone. You sense they're not laughing, but I need to have it confirmed. It's a very good question. I wasn't at all looking for it. There was no design. And this came about, to be honest, a very nice executive over at Warner Brothers called and said, I want to sit down and talk to you about something. And I didn't know what it was. And then when I sat down, he said, we'd like you to develop something for you. And we want you to be back on TV. And I went, why? And I said, what you said. He said, why? You just missed that, whatever that was. There are people who want that sort of, as his words are saying, sort of adult, smart, heartfelt comedy. And I said, well, I'm really kind of enjoying staying home with the kids. And gee, when you do a TV show, you got to really wake up early and everything and work hard. But it was, I'm nothing if not susceptible to flattery and nice things. So he said, well, let's go write something that you feel like writing and let's see what happens. And I went away and this show came out of it. I didn't know what it was going to be honest. And I just wrote my life. And when it was done, I thought, this is really fun. This would be a fun show to watch for me. I mean, and I know people would watch this. And I felt like this is a good way for me to do my comedy. And having the 10, 11 years not being out there really was something I wanted. And as it turns out, it kind of very much gave me the genesis for what the show became, that I wouldn't have known, if you put a gun to my head 3, 4, or 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to come up with the show. But because I was really living that life of not being out there and being a guy who used to be on TV and being a guy whose job and daily life is, taking the kids to school and putting out the little domestic fires, suddenly when I started to look at it, I thought, oh, that's actually very rich and very universal. And so the timing just seemed right.
You didn't miss being away from television or movies for 11 years?
Well, I was working, I was doing little things. I certainly wasn't out there. I wrote a movie that I had wanted to write for years that I finally got to write with Peter Falk. I had always wanted to write that specific movie with Peter Falk playing my father, and I got to do that. And last year, I got to finally do a music project that I had been, I was a music major in college, and I always thought, gee, when I take some time off, I'll write some music. And last year, I
sort of accidentally fell into this music project. I wrote an album of songs with Julia Fordham, who's a great singer.
Oh, my God, she's a goddess.
Oh, great. I told you I liked you. So she is an old friend, and I one day said, you know, I've been writing music, and would you consider looking at this and see if you want to maybe make this into a song? And she took it away and made a beautiful song, and suddenly we said, well, let's do another. And before you know it, we had an album. So we have an album that's actually out on iTunes. I love that nobody's ever heard of it.
That's what the sales show.
But anyway, so I got to do a lot of stuff. I wasn't really just sitting staring into space. And I had written and produced a bunch of pilots, about six pilots, that I was not acting in. So I was certainly keeping active and creative, but I wasn't at all looking to be on TV. I really wasn't. And I wasn't fighting it either. It just didn't come up. But when this opportunity really opened the invitation to say, well, just write something that you think you might want to be in, with that kind of open gesture and not a lot of pressure, what came out was really felt good. So it felt like the timing was right, and then I couldn't be more proud of the show.
All of these different people that are on the show are people you were familiar with, but maybe the other actors on the show weren't so familiar with. Did you find that there was a gelling between everyone?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know, it was an unbelievable thing. We kind of all fell in love. And the five guys were all just getting such a kick out of each other and such unique senses of humor. You know, Ben Schenkman is a brilliantly trained actor and theater actor, and has done a lot of TV too. And you wouldn't know from his work that necessarily that he's so funny. And
he's done a lot of drama,
but he's an unbelievably informed student of comedy and can quote every comedy ever made, and he's brilliant. And we just have to say, you know, but do that. Be fun. Don't be afraid to be that guy, you know. And Omid Jalili is 27 different flavors of funny, and we would just sometimes have to, yeah, I mean, we would lose a lot of time just because we would crack up, and he was just too funny, and I'd be off camera weeping. And they go, hold on, we heard Paul crying and laughing. And, you know, Amy Landecker, I had seen her in A Serious Man, and I'd never seen her before that, and I thought she was fantastic. And then, I had no idea. That was kind of going into this. I didn't have any actors in mind, and it was really a nice, clean, fresh approach. And somebody said, how about that woman from Serious Man for your wife? I went, wow. Sure, she looks good. And she came in, and she was one of those, it was very much like with Helen Hunt, it was one of those, you had me at hello. She came in to, you know, read for the part, and just chatting for 2 minutes, we said, you know what, done. You don't have to read, you got it. But that's it. It was just, she was so lovely and funny and offbeat and perfectly neurotic. I went, yes, that's what my wife needs to be, all of those things. So, not that my wife is in any way neurotic, by the way. I made that up for comedic impact. My wife is perfectly, always not neurotic. Put that down.
How many other actors were considered for the role of Paul Reiser?
You know what? The original Paul Reiser, not only is he older and out of shape, but he wanted too much money. So we went looking around. Nobody would do it. Nobody would do it. Seinfeld, yeah, not for this kind of money. Seinfeld wouldn't do it. Gary Shandling. We had a call into Jack Benny's office. I've not heard back. So ultimately, I just did it.
You had to step up.
Yeah, and you know what? It worked out fine.
Cool. Yeah,
I knew the jokes already.
Yeah, I have a question regarding your love-hate relationship with the word nuance. Why did that become your production company as opposed to gesture production?
That's a good question. You know what? What a specific thing. Now, in fact, if help me remember, in the movie Diner, when I discussed those two words, I think nuance was the one I didn't like, right?
And gesture
was the word I did like.
Yes,
but nuance is just funnier, and it was a funnier word, and people remember that as the nuance bit, and somehow it just always struck me as, well, what should my company be called? And I don't know where that came from, but I said, well, that seems perfect.
So you were never comfortable as Modell with the word gesture.
Never comfortable. I thought by making that the name of my company, it would force me to become comfortable with the word nuance. That's what it was. I set myself the challenge of becoming comfortable with nuance. That's a great question.
Since the show is based around your life, how do you balance playing the real you as compared to the needs of yourself as a character?
I don't. I live on the set and I have cameramen running the whole time. Because once I get home, by the way, nobody's laughing. And to my kids and my wife, I'll be honest, after 10 years, they had enough of me. They're happy to share me with some others. I actually don't, as I said before, there's enough mixture coming experiences from my life and my writing partners, producing partners' life that it doesn't get too confusing.
And plus, these are not my actual family. So I've got a whole pretend wife and pretend children and pretend friends. So far, it seems to be working. Well, see, call me in a year. We'll let you know.
Well, when you look at the life and relationships now as compared to earlier in your career, how has it been easier to notice the comedy in real life?
Somebody said, you know, in a way, Mad About You felt very autobiographical to me at the time, but it was fictionalized. I had a different name, and I wasn't playing really myself, but I was sort of mining my life. And someone said, this is really Mad About You, that relationship 15 years later. You know, in the beginning, they were newlyweds, and so there was a lot of neurotic thing about, well, gee, is our relationship going to work? Well, what's 20 years in now, and yeah, we're in. Nobody's looking at the door and thinking of getting out. You're, you know, and for good, mostly good, and sometimes there are tough days, but there are kids, there's life. There's, you know, it's a much more mature, grounded point in life, and it's a great point in life. I mean, this, you know, somebody said, well, somebody said, compared it to Raymond's, you know, Men of a Certain Age, and I said, well, that show is great, but it's very different, and those guys are, it seems, you know, it's a lot of pontificating observing which he were getting old, and this show comes at it from a very different place. This comes from, like, well, I'm older, yes, I don't feel old, but it's really, it's very much enjoying life and enjoying the challenges. It's like, okay, how do I balance these knucklehead friends? And kids who keep bringing in problems, and you know, stuff is coming at you. That's really at the moment where life, like, you don't know what life is throwing at you. And basically, when I was joking before, I said, I just want to sit down. But you can't. Life doesn't let you sit down because, you know, a kid runs into a refrigerator and needs stitches, and the other kid has a problem at school, and your wife needs you to go do this. You don't really get to sit down. And life, you know, not to be philosophical, but life is always throwing something at you, and that's the comedy, and that's the heart of the show. It's like, how do you deal with life? And there's small things that, you know, every day in the episodes, there are tiny things that people go through, people relate to, and it feels like that's really the heart of the show.
I was wondering if, of all the pilots that you've produced over the past decade, if there were any that stood out to you as you were particularly disappointed they didn't get picked.
Yes,
up in the series.
All of them. I was actually really fond of all of them. There's the one or two that I still like to do, you know, and produce. There was one that we did, and we took it to which was called The Ripple Effect, and it was about how unrelated people affect each other's lives. But it was done in a very funny and sometimes dramatic way. That, you know, you're in a bad mood and somebody says something to you, so you get in your car and now you're angry and you hit somebody and that affects 7 other people. And at the heart of it was this element, this very global conceit that we are indeed all connected and you never know how. And yeah, it was sort of like Babel, but funnier and shorter. And I that still really intrigues me, and that's one that I'd love to do. So if you know anybody who's buying, let me know.
We were wondering if Larry David gave you any advice on playing yourself on
a team. No. Larry David, I called Larry and I said, yeah, I'm sure you're not going to want to do this, but we wrote this part for you. You got to do it. And he was so gracious. He says, here's the thing, goes, but I don't like to memorize scripts, so we'll improvise it. And I said, done. Let's do that. And then I got very nervous, to be honest with you, because he's brilliant. He has developed that art form, and he's just really a genius. And I felt, when we did that scene, I felt like I was getting into the ring with Ali. I went, let me just keep running around, and hopefully I won't get hurt. And it was a two-minute scene, and we had 45 minutes of tape, because he was so brilliantly funny. That was the longest, most challenging editing thing, was getting Larry down to the time that we had a lot of the show. But he was so great, and you know, somebody had said early on, like, well, this show, Paul, it's sort of like your Curb. I went, yeah, that's fair, and it's a very different feel, but yes, in that I playing me, and Larry plays himself, and so on. And so that we improvised that scene, and when Larry says to me, hey, Paul, you know what you should do? Your own version of my show, Curb. I went, my head kind of exploded, frankly, because I go, well, you were actually filming my show, and you're telling me that. And, you know, I have a friend who's constantly rides me about it. He goes, you know, you come off as Mr. Nice Guy on TV. You're Mr. Sweet Nice Guy. But I know you. You're not that nice. And I went, I know that. But America doesn't know that. So that we got to do that in the scene really made me laugh. And Larry David, of all people, saying, you're so much worse than me. That made me laugh, to be honest. That's my favorite joke in the whole show.
Thanks, Paul. And thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.